This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is Evelyn Madrid Earhart. She is running for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, a seat currently held by Republican Steve Pierce. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Fred, and hello to everyone.
It's great to have you here, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Tell me, first off, a little about your background and your decision to run for Congress.
My mom and dad, I have to say, are a big inspiration to me. I grew up with two people who read three newspapers every day and discussed current issues and politics. And I learned from them about the biggest issues of the day that still affect us today. Civil rights from Dr. King, the Medicare that came out in the 1960s, thanks to President Johnson. Well, I can go on and on, but my mom and dad were a big influence on me. And then, not only in my public education, but also in my college education, and especially my master's degree, I learned how to analyze problems and how to use critical thinking skills. And those are what propel me today and keep me going and looking at the issues that matter most to people. And Fred, the reason that I decided to run for Congress is because I noticed that we were not having the issues that mattered most to us addressed. I was furious when, after we lost in the 2010 election, all the Democrats across the country, that Congress, the Republican Congress, went back to Washington and they did not discuss the main issue, which were jobs. They went back and wanted to sign up with Paul Ryan and his plan to end Social Security and Medicare the way that we know them, and to defund Medicaid, and also to do away with the Affordable Health Care Plan, also known as Obamacare. And I said, enough is enough. People need jobs. They need to have all of those programs that they want to do away with. And no one was willing to step up, and I was.
Okay. It certainly, I know, has not been easy. You've had trouble competing with Steve Pierce in campaign spending. Of course, this has become a bigger issue all across the country because of Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision, which unleashed a lot of money into our political system. Some say it was very damaging. One of the reasons that congressional campaigns cost so much involves the hundreds of millions of dollars donated to politicians by special interests. I want to get your thoughts on this and your thoughts on campaign finance reform, which some say is really lacking.
Oh, yes, it is. And I support campaign finance reform. I stand with Senators Dick Durbin and our own Tom Udall, who are working on a plan to end Citizens United and to reform campaign finance. We're in dire need of it. We really are. And there is no way that so many of these Republicans can represent the people because they take so much money from these corporations. They're beholden to those people to do what they want. And, for example, the Koch brothers. Even Steve Pierce has received money from the Koch brothers, and they are the ones who invented the Tea Party so that they would have a caucus that represents their needs so that they don't have to pay taxes.
Okay. A number of national polls peg the job approval rating for Congress in the low teens. That's the lowest since these types of polls were conducted. Of course, some of the polls even have the approval rating in the single digits for Congress. Why do you think Congress is so unpopular?
Because they are paid for by special interest groups. They are not doing anything that are going that help the people with the issues that matter to them. They're not addressing the fact that we don't have jobs, and they know why we don't have jobs, because those jobs have been sent overseas, and all of the people, the corporations that have those jobs overseas, they don't have any restrictions whatsoever, so they can continue using people in foreign countries, not paying them enough, and not coming back and helping us, the people who buy all of those products. They're not coming back with those jobs here, and also paying into the system that helps them to get where they are.
Okay. Of course, as you've already referenced in your answer as to why you're running for Congress, the Democrats did very poorly in the 2010 elections and, of course, lost control of the House as a result of that. Why do you think Democrats did so poorly a few years ago?
I believe the Democrats did not pay enough attention to getting their message out and all of the accomplishments that President Obama and the Democrats in Congress were able to make. And they didn't realize that they were going to get snowballed by the Republicans and their message, which was really strong, saying we had a do-nothing Congress and a do-nothing president. And so we lost the opportunity to remind people how important it was that we address our health care issues, and they were not being addressed. They didn't talk about how President Obama repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They didn't discuss, oh my gosh, there are so many different things. He had passed the stimulus. He did something about Wall Street reform, and he ended the Iraq War. He eliminated Osama bin Laden, and we can go on and on, but we didn't address all of those issues.
Of course, I would say it's fair to say that all of those issues were certainly addressed during the recent Democratic National Convention. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, they wised up and they realized that they had missed an opportunity in 2010, and they did a beautiful job on the convention this year. Beautiful job.
Anything stand out to you in particular?
I loved President Clinton and how he spoke to the everyday person and explained to them why it would be so important for them to get involved with this election and to support our president, because he was paying attention to the everyday person, the person who has been struggling in the middle class for 30 years and not getting anywhere, people who had once had dreams to own a home and those dreams were gone. He explained it to people and said, you must get out there and vote, because those dreams can come true when we have an even playing field. And President Obama's mentioned that so many times. When we level that playing field, all of us are going to have an opportunity like we haven't seen for 30 years.
Of course, another speaker at the DNC who got quite a bit of attention, in fact, was compared repeatedly to President Obama when he came onto the national stage in 2004 at the Democratic National Convention in 2004, and that is San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro, and certainly made a big national splash. What was your impression there?
Oh, I think he and his brother are brilliant young men, full of energy and full of the dream, and explaining to people what it's like for immigrants and what it's like for them to come to this country with nothing and have their parents do all of the blue-collar work, all of the kind of work that no one else wants to do, and to give up everything for their offspring. I thought that he was charming, and when his brother met him on stage, I thought that was really lovely.
Well, speaking of President Obama, as you know, he talked a lot about reducing partisanship during the 2008 election. But many people believe we're more partisan than ever before now. How do you think that can be changed?
The only way that it's going to change is for the country right now to not vote for the Republicans. And I say this because it's not the Republican Party anymore. It's been hijacked and taken over by special interest, the Tea Party organization. And until Republicans can vote in real Republicans again that can work with Democrats, we're not going to see people wanting to work with Democrats. We've lost Senators Lugar and Snowe, and what lovely people they were. They were willing, all the years that they served in the Senate, to sit down with Democrats and argue points, look at points, analyze them, and come to conclusions with Democrats. And that's what we're missing in the Republican Party. I'm not against Republicans at all, but I am against any kind of special interest that doesn't have the best interests at heart of the ordinary, everyday person. And that's the Tea Party, and they've got to go.
Okay. You've already mentioned today, Evelyn, that one of the main reasons you got into this campaign was a need for Congress to focus on job creation. And I want to ask you, what should Congress do to jumpstart the economy?
The American Jobs Act will do it, and I'm going to support the American Jobs Act. For one thing, Fred, for years we haven't done anything about repairing roads and bridges, but more important than that, we've gone away from the public schools, and we have so many public schools that need to be torn down and rebuilt, or we need to have them outfitted with the equipment that the students are going to need for this century, but also all of the wiring these buildings and updating these buildings are going to need. And it's essential because public education is so important. That's where people learn how to meet other people from other cultures, from other belief systems. It's a place where we share and learn together.
Okay. If you're just joining us on Images, we have as our guest today the Democrat running in the 2nd Congressional District, Evelyn Madrid Earhart. It's a seat currently held by Republican Steve Pierce. Evelyn, another issue that you've addressed today, and I'd like to have you talk a little more about, is federal health reform. You recently wrote a column that was published in the local newspaper supporting the federal health reform law. Tell me about that.
I'd like to go back to 2008. I'd heard about President Obama. I heard about this senator who had been listening to what people were talking about and what their needs were. And at that time, it was for health care reform. We had seen people turned away from having health insurance from unscrupulous companies that were saying, you've got a pre-existing condition. You can't, you know, be in our program. And there would be people who would have even gone to the emergency room for some minor incident. And when they were reviewing your records, they would say, they might look at your age and say, you know what, this person might be 60 years old, and maybe this person's going to have other issues. So let's get them for that operation that they had, having their tonsils removed, something minor. And so we saw a real need to have regulations put on that industry. And so that was one of them. But we also saw, Fred, that I did in my own insurance company, there was a CEO person in, I think it was 2008, who made $30+ million in 1 year as a bonus. So all of us who had been paying for our insurance, these companies were taking out more than they were giving us in services. And so now the Affordable Care Act has put a cap on that. And so people cannot spend in the insurance industry more than 10-20% on overhead expenses. 80% has to go to our services that we would receive from them. So those are a couple of issues that really meant a lot to me.
Okay. Another big issue in this campaign, and this is something that maybe was a little unexpected, but it was certainly sparked by a Senate campaign in Missouri. Women's rights, a major issue in this campaign. Your thoughts on this?
Yes, it is. I can hardly believe it, Fred. I thought that we'd done this in the 1960s. I thought it was all over. But I want women to know that I stand for your right to choose what is best for your own health and well-being, because you are the only ones who know what's best for you and also what you're financially capable of. And so this is why I stand for women.
Okay. You know, this also became an issue, women's rights, connected to the health care law in terms of a requirement for contraception to be provided to people who may work for an organization that is affiliated with a religious group. Not a church, by any means. That was one of the things that was very misleading in that debate. Some people tried to indicate that this dealt with churches, but it actually didn't. It dealt with hospitals or schools that might be affiliated with a religious organization, but not with churches. What are your thoughts on that?
I liked the way President Obama handled that. He realized that women's needs were so important, and he didn't want them to be overlooked by the place that they worked for just because they worked for an organization that was affiliated with a religious organization. And so he said, these women can go directly to their insurance company and not have to go through their bosses or that organization that they're working for, but go directly to the insurance company and get what they were going to need. Contraceptions, anything.
Okay. As you know, I want to switch gears here now to foreign policy. There has been a lot of saber-rattling in Congress about Iran, and that the U.S. will ensure Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. That scares a lot of people who believe we could end up in another war. Tell me your thoughts about foreign policy, particularly when it is appropriate to go to war.
I was really happy to hear the United Nations recently talk. 100 leaders from around the world spoke up, and they said, for all these countries that are having uprisings, it is important that you would resolve your conflicts and build peace. And for them to say that, I feel, sent a message to all these countries. But I believe that it is so important that we not jump into any wars. First of all, Fred, we're an overpopulated world. I believe wars are a thing of the past. And I liked also the way President Obama handled Libya when the rebels wanted to get rid of Gaddafi and the people of the country said, enough is enough. We don't want to have a dictator, you know, abusing us. And so I liked the way that that President Obama said to other Arabic countries, will you join me in helping the people of Libya oust or get rid of Gaddafi. And by doing that, by involving other countries, you're not coming in as a country and thinking that, well, I'm the big shot in town and I can come walking in and do whatever I want to in the way that President Bush did when he started the war with Iraq. I think the only way we're going to resolve issues is together as a world.
Okay. A proposal to establish a national monument in the Oregon Mountains has been sent to the president. What are your thoughts on this proposal?
I've seen it, and I have seen three different proposals. The one that Senator Bingaman wrote up along with Senators Udall helping with that. Also the one that the environmentalists have done, and also the one that Steve Pierce has worked on with the Republicans. And the one that people nowadays are supporting the most is the one that Senators Bingaman and Udall have worked on. And it seems to be one that addresses the issues of everyone, not only people who want to protect our natural resources and areas, but also the ones that are also saying, well, we need to have some development and we need to have people be able to use these places, like sportsmen, people who like to go in and visit those areas. So I stand with Senator Bingaman's proposal.
Okay. Another issue that's very important locally, but is also important all across our country, and certainly has been in the news in the last few months, is immigration reform. There are stark differences on this issue when you look at the Democratic platform and the Republican platform. Individual candidates, though, Democrats and Republicans, have different positions that may differ greatly from those platforms. What are your thoughts on immigration reform? What needs to be done?
First of all, I stand with President Obama and his plans for the DREAM Act. And Fred, I want to share this with you. I have the endorsement of Congressman Raul Grijalva because he knows how much that means to me. But he also knows that in 2010, after we got health care reform, President Obama had all of us who were volunteers for Organizing for America, Obama for America, we made phone calls to Republican senators and their constituents all across the country, those ones who had indicated at one time that they would be interested in immigration reform, and we called them to put pressure on them, you know, to say, you had said this at one time, we're holding you up to it, will you do it? And of course, we know they didn't, but Congressman Grijalva knows that I stood up for it, and he knows that when I go to Washington, and I hope with the help of everybody out there, that I am going to help the people, the young people who came to this country with their parents who were let in because people wanted them to come in and work, you know, at low wages. And so for that 30-year period or so, these folks came in and they brought their children, and I stand with those children that have been in limbo. And I thank President Obama for standing up for them recently by saying they will not be deported. So he's taken them out of the shadows now, and I will continue. But I also, Fred, would like to take the parents out of the shadows. They have been here in this country, building our country. Anywhere that you go in the United States and you see the beautiful new buildings and you see the landscapings and you see all of these hotels and the people that are running them and the restaurants that are being run by these folks, all of that hard work that they've been doing, we need to take them out of the shadows with their children.
And how would that be done if you were the person who was helping to author comprehensive immigration reform? What would it look like? Because as you know, there are very different versions of immigration reform, some that include a path to citizenship, some that do not, some that involve fines and other requirements in order to stay in the country, etc. What would it look like if you were writing the bill?
I've been looking at reading Congressman Luis Gutierrez's plans, and I like what he has to say. But I do have some differences. And for example, on the DREAM Act, I think that people have worked hard enough. They have served here in our country in so many different ways, gone to school, become good citizens. And I would like one part of it to be taken out. I like the idea that the young people need to go to college and learn, you know, something to get them to be in the future, you know, some skills or train them for jobs, whatever. But what I don't agree with is that I would like them to only have to join the military if they choose, but not to have that as an option also. I believe that people should always decide if they want to go to the military because it's a life and death situation. So that's one thing that I would change. But on their parents, I would not fine them. I believe that they have been living here and contributing, buying goods, doing work, hard work, helping our farms, helping our ranches. They continue to do all of this work, so fining them, and especially since they haven't been being paid more than minimum wage usually, I think fines would be a very difficult thing for them.
Okay, well, we've covered certainly a lot of ground in this half hour. I only have a few minutes left with you today. As you know, and we've talked about this already, job creation is dominating the election. I certainly wanted to get to other issues, and we've done that. But I'm sure there are other things that are on the back burner beyond job creation we haven't talked about yet. Tell me some other issues that you are passionate about in our remaining minutes together.
Research. I've noticed that we're looking at having Los Alamos National Laboratory, Sandia Labs, defunded. Maybe people will be looking at our White Sands Missile Range in our district. But I believe that we can turn these facilities into technical research, medical research, all different kinds of research, and we can move ahead. We still haven't discovered what we could do more with cancer. We've seen a lot of improvement over the years, but I'm sure that we can come up with much more. But one that Sandia Labs did many years ago, and of course I think nothing became of it because my husband is a diabetic, but they were working on an instrument that they could touch the skin, people who have diabetes touch their skin, and it would give them a blood sugar reading instead of having to poke their fingers with a needle. And I know that diabetics hate it to have to constantly be poking their fingers in. And I think that any kind of medical research that we can do to improve health, and especially because we are overpopulated, we're going to see so many more new viruses. I think that would be a wonderful way to do something with these facilities that used to work with plutonium and uranium, that turning them into research would be great.
Evelyn Madrid Earhart, our guest today, she is running for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, a seat currently held by Republican Steve Pierce. Evelyn, it's been a pleasure having you today on Images. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, and everyone.